This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when, in the most visible form, one of our great institutions is under assault. I'm talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. Today, a shocking case of a young man from California who told police that it was his intention to break into the house. He was apprehended with burglary tools and with a knife and with a Glock and with the means to commit murder of Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. And the idea was that was supposed to be some kind of payback, at least according to the suspect, who is now in custody. Some kind of payback for a coming ruling on abortion, which everybody in the whole world has heard about. With all of this going on, it's a terrific time to take a quick look at a new book that is coming out in paperback, chosen by Wall Street Journal as one of the best books of 2021. It is called Supreme Disorder: Judicial Nominations and the Politics of America's Highest Court. The author of the book has been in the news a great deal recently. It's Professor Ilya Shapiro, who lists himself in his own description as a defender of the Constitution, of free speech, and intellectual diversity. And until a recent controversy, he was executive director of Georgetown Law School's Center for the Constitution. Ilya, it's great to speak to you, and congratulations on the paperback release of your book.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Okay. First of all, you ended up resigning from Georgetown Law School because they were only excusing a tweet that you made that was, and it wasn't even a tweet that was critical of any Supreme Court justice, was it? The fatal tweet that inspired this gigantic controversy questioned the idea of appointing someone based on skin color to the Supreme Court. Have I got that right?
Yes, and you're right. It came a month before Ketanji Brown Jackson was nominated. It was the day that news of Justice Breyer's retirement leaked. And I tweeted that I thought the best candidate, if I were Biden or a Democratic president, would be Sri Srinivasan, the chief judge of the D.C. Circuit. Happens to be an Indian-American immigrant, and he's brilliant and very smart, progressive, would be, in my view, would have been the best choice. Which means that, and I didn't phrase this perfectly, which means that everyone else in the universe is less qualified or a worse choice, including if Biden limits himself to his characteristics of race and sex, that would mean we'd end up with a, as I put it inartfully, lesser black woman, meaning less qualified than Srinivasan. And yeah, that provoked a firestorm. I was suspended. I was onboarded. I hadn't yet joined Georgetown, but I was suspended immediately upon joining. And they had a four-month so-called investigation as to whether that comment violated harassment and anti-discrimination policies, at the end of which, last Thursday, they determined, it took them 4 months to figure this out, that since I had not been an employee, the policies didn't apply to me. I couldn't be disciplined. And so I celebrated that technical victory. But as it turned out, over the weekend, reading the report by the Diversity Office, the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, Affirmative Action Office that investigated me, they left me no choice, because the standard they wanted was that if anything I wrote or said ever offended somebody or caused them discomfort, then that would create a hostile educational environment and I'd be disciplined. And I certainly couldn't work under those conditions.
Well, you have a brilliant piece that appeared in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. And in your piece, you quote some of your colleagues or former colleagues now at Georgetown University. You quote, for instance, Professor Carol Christine Fair of the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown, who tweeted during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation process, quote, "Look at this chorus of entitled white men justifying a serial rapist's abrogated entitlement. All of them deserve miserable deaths, while feminists laugh as they take their last gasps. Bonus, we castrate their corpses and feed them to swine." Yes. That's protected speech?
It is protected speech. Georgetown acted properly, I think, in not punishing or investigating Professor Fair for those comments, which I think everyone can agree are more outrageous and inflammatory than anything that I've said. And I give other examples, including those that go out after what in D.C., where Georgetown is located, is a protected class, that is political affiliation. There are a couple of professors that went after Republicans. Again, protected speech, you know, maybe in under D.C. there might be a legal claim, but regardless, Georgetown's excellent on paper free speech and expression policy protected them. But it's free speech for thee and not for me.
Yeah, but in today, when there is actually a credible attempt on the life of Justice Kavanaugh, for her to say all of them deserve miserable deaths, does that cross some lines that you could at least arguably make a case that calling for someone's death was probably not an appropriate thing for somebody at a faculty member at a major university?
Oh, the response to bad or offensive speech is more speech. And sure, she should be and was criticized for all of that. But the law is clear about what constitutes threats, what can be prosecuted. I don't think her thing rose to the level of that in terms of criminal prosecution. So I'm not saying that, you know, I should, you know, what I tweeted should not have been criticized in any way, or if anyone didn't like it, they shouldn't argue against me, you know, write off ed, do whatever. That's perfectly fine. The point is, if you're going to allow, as universities should, I don't see how they can function without it, freedom of speech, free exchange of ideas, then you shouldn't be punished for how you speak, unless, again, the typical First Amendment exception. The First Amendment doesn't apply to Georgetown, it's a private institution, but I think it's still good policy to only be able to punish speech that actually is a true threat or incites violence or certain other First Amendment exceptions, child pornography, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and basically what you're talking about is the standard to which you were held was if somebody is offended, then that speech is unacceptable. And today there is such an offense and sensitivity industry that I would imagine that almost anything that anyone on the right chose to say could offend somebody in the greater Georgetown community.
Yeah, it's the manufacturing of outrage. I mean, I can't imagine that many people were actually offended by my tweet. But people, you know, my ideological or political opponents spun it up and distributed and fanned the flames of, you know, whatever harm was caused was much more by them spreading that tweet than me issuing it in the first place. You know, they applied an extreme bad faith lens to it to try to get me fired. Et cetera. But you're right. No, nobody who's being reasonable or acting in good faith would have interpreted what I said to be offensive. But that doesn't even matter. Even if I said something offensive, like those professors that I listed in my resignation letter, that is protected speech. And again, the response is more speech to say that's bad or I don't like it or it's wrong or what have you. That's fine. You have the discourse of ideas.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the status of the Supreme Court. Your book, which comes out July 5th, right after the 4th of July, is called Supreme Disorder. Is the Supreme Court in trouble as an institution? We're going to be speaking with Senator Mike Lee of Utah later in the show about efforts by people on the left to expand the number of justices, what is called familiarly court packing, or to put term limits on how long justices can serve, and to otherwise sort of claw back some of the power that the Supreme Court has taken on in this republic. What do we do about it? And what is appropriate? We'll be speaking about that with Ilya Shapiro now of the Manhattan Institute, which is a great place to be. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
Kudos for having the best show on radio.
The Michael MedVed Show.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael MedVed.
I listen to you every single day.
And on the Michael MedVed Show, honored to be joined by Ilya Shapiro of the Manhattan Institute. He was recently involved in a very well-publicized and justly well-publicized controversy with Georgetown University, where he was formally held a new position. Ilya Shapiro's most recent book is called Supreme Disorder. It was chosen as one of the best books of 2021 by Wall Street Journal. It is released in paperback on the 5th of July, so just a couple of weeks from now. Right now, Ilya, we have a situation where there are many people who have the idea that the Supreme Court is coming for us. They're coming to take away our rights. There has been a real collapse, according to polling, in confidence in the Supreme Court as an institution. Is any of this deserved? Is it appropriate for people to now view the Supreme Court as a partisan instrument rather than as a impartial and conscientious dispenser of justice?
Well, there's a lot to comment on there in your question. The Supreme Court, sure, public confidence in it has declined. I wouldn't say collapsed. It's still more respected. The confidence level is higher than for any other federal institution save the military. But there has been, especially on the left, a loss of trust. The problem fundamentally is that we have the culmination of several trends where divergent interpretive theories map onto partisan preference at a time when the parties are more ideologically sorted and polarized than at least since the Civil War, if not ever. And so it's unavoidable to have these politically fraught battles whenever there's a vacancy. It's unavoidable to call justices not just conservative and liberal, which is bad enough, but Republican and Democrat. I don't think any of the justices operate out of political, let alone partisan motives. I don't think any of them operate out of bad faith. They're all applying their theories of interpretation as best they can do. But we have an aggregation of so much power in Washington and in the court that it's unhealthy for the court when it's divided, when we have that dynamic where interpretation maps onto party at a time when the court is so powerful and ruling on half a dozen of the most important issues in American life every year. That's not a good situation. But it's not the court's fault. It's a part of the broader political dynamic in our society. Although I do think it is irresponsible and ironic or even sardonic, bitter irony, that those who most complain, especially on the left, about the loss of so-called legitimacy on the court are the ones who want to blow up institutions, getting rid of the filibuster, packing the court, getting rid of the Electoral College, all of these very significant changes that, constitutional or not, would really change and further politicize our institutions.
One of the things that people on the left are talking about is instituting term limits of some kind. That right now, obviously, a Supreme Court justice serves until death. And for many of them, you have sudden, unexpected, relatively unexpected deaths, as with Justice Scalia, may his memory be a blessing, and with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Is there anything to be said for providing a term? I know that one of the numbers that they've talked about is 18 years, which is the equivalent of three Senate terms. Does that make sense for the Supreme Court?
I'm mildly in favor of that. The 18 years is because there's nine justices, so there would be a vacancy every 2 years. Every presidential term in non-election years would get two vacancies. That's popular. Surveys show that would increase popular confidence in the court. For that reason, it's good. But it would take a constitutional amendment because currently the Constitution says that judges, all federal judges, serve during good behavior, so basically can only be removed by impeachment. And it wouldn't necessarily change the dynamic that people complain about. So we still have bitter fights, partisan fights in the Senate over each time there's a nominee. It would, you know, while it would remove these kind of politically motivated retirements and arbitrary vacancies and kind of morbid health watches over octogenarian justices, that's all to the good. We would standardize these things. But there still would be bitter political fights. There still would be, every presidential campaign would be even more directly about the Supreme Court, because every term would be guaranteed two seats. So it would solve some problems, and I think help with confidence in the court, which is good, but it wouldn't necessarily address some of these issues that people complain about, and it would take a constitutional amendment.
What do we do about the judicial nominations where, I mean, I thought the Kavanaugh nomination in particular, and even elements of the Ketanji Brown Jackson nomination, it seemed so bitter when it comes to two people who aren't that extreme and who actually have lived pretty honorable lives with great achievement on, for both of them. What do we do about that?
The confirmation circus that we have, the Kabuki theater, is a function, it's a symptom of this larger dynamic about the power of the court and the different views sorted by party of the role of judges. And, you know, at this point, you know, we didn't always have hearings. That started about 100 years ago. But the nominees didn't always testify themselves. That was seen as unseemly. At this point, I think having public hearings is a net negative. There's not much information that's gained. These days, you can read instantly everything that the nominees have written as judges, as academics, or whatever. And instead, you have this food fight. You have this Kabuki theater where senators from the same party as the president try to toss softballs and make the nominee look nice and smart. The opposing senators try to ask gotcha questions or B-roll for their future reelection campaigns or runs for president. And the nominee talks a lot without saying very much. The playbook is standard, and it's everyone's dragged into the dirt. We saw kind of flip side parallel circumstances with the hearings into Ketanji Brown Jackson, most recently, and Amy Coney Barrett before her. I thought they both acquitted themselves well at the hearing, but there wasn't much worth to them. So if I could snap my fingers, one immediate reform I would have is to either get rid of these hearings altogether or make them in closed sessions like we do with intelligence committees, the only ones that do any actual work in Congress. But that's, again, just addressing the symptoms. The bigger issue is that we have irreconcilable visions of the judicial role between the parties. It'll be interesting to see the next time we have a Supreme Court nomination confirmation process under divided government when the Senate and the presidency are held by different parties. We haven't had that since Clarence Thomas in 1991, more than 30 years ago. We thought we were going to get it with Breyer, but President Trump kicked away those two Georgia Senate seats, allowing the Democrats to take a majority, slim majority in the Senate.
Ilya Shapiro, his new book, Supreme Disorder, just released in paperback on July 5th. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
An armed man who made threats against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was arrested near the justice's home. A court spokesman saying the arrest happened around 1:50 a.m. The top Republican in the Senate says this sort of reaction is not surprising based on some of the stuff we're hearing from those on the left.
This is exactly the kind of event that many worried, the unhinged, reckless, apocalyptic rhetoric from prominent figures toward the court going back many months, and especially in recent weeks, could make more likely.
Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell. The man has been charged with attempted murder. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen isn't concerned about inflation being a decade-long problem. That's what she told a Democratic-led House committee on Wednesday. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammie, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life.
Michael, you rock.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved show, of course, there continues to be a sense it's not immediate, it's not rapid, it's not dramatic. There's no flashes of lightning or peals of thunder that are announcing it. But basically, there will be something that is accomplished regarding this issue of gun regulation. And probably on some of the aspects of that issue that attract overwhelming support, according to various polls. With that going on, the interesting question is the level of hysteria right now about crime and about danger has spread to Democrats. And what's interesting to me about it is when you hear what Joy Reid of MSNBC is saying, how could she support the Biden-Harris administration in any sense, or the Democrats who control both houses of Congress? Because the tremendous increase in crime, which everyone feels, and she's right when she cites it, yes, people feel less safe. And there are these horrifying stories. And the stories do not involve guns getting up and sprouting legs and sort of marching out and starting to do damage to people. It involves the wrong people being, first of all, at liberty, including a lot of convicted criminals and people with extensive criminal backgrounds, and who get access to guns, sometimes illegally, sometimes legally. But basically, they're individuals who are dangerous on the streets, and they're made more dangerous by their access to firearms. But to basically define America's problem as a gun problem, just think about it logically. Let's say that we reduce the number of guns. They now estimate there are 400 million guns in private hands in the United States. Now, many of them, about a more than half of gun-owning families, have more than one gun. So let's say you introduced or you reduced somehow the number of guns per gun-owning family to one gun. Okay, I'm not suggesting that that be done. But do you really believe that would have a great impact on reducing the crime rate? It seems profoundly illogical to say so. Here is Joy Reid on MSNBC talking about Americans not feeling safe anywhere. Listen, clip 10.
We can't feel safe at Walmart, at the supermarket, at Bible study or church service, at the salon, at the hospital, if God forbid some guy gets mad at his doctor for not giving him opioids, at a nightclub, at a concert, even at a funeral, or at school, whether you're in high school or you're 10 and in the fourth grade. In America, and only in America, you are literally rolling the dice every time you leave your house or drop off your kids at school. And you just have to pray that today is not your day or their day to meet that angry, alienated American man with an AR-15.
Okay, first of all, the overwhelming majority of shootings that occur in the United States, and this very much includes suicides, which are far more common than homicides, and almost double the number of homicides. Almost no one commits suicide with an AR-15. That's kind of, if you just try to imagine such a thing. I know, Ernest Hemingway managed to kill himself with a shotgun with a long rifle. But most of the crime and most of the violence involves handguns, and it always has. And this is one of the reasons, well, I don't know, this is Chuck Schumer saying that he now looks forward to working with his Republican colleagues on gun legislation. Now, do I believe that he really looks forward to working with Republican colleagues on gun legislation? Only because he assumes he won't be successful. The Democrats desperately want this and need this as an issue for the election. And Republicans would be very foolish to hand that to them. They should shock the Democrats by actually going forward with cooperation. Might actually even gratify the country about our elected representatives responding in a less partisan, less exploitative manner to a very strongly perceived public crisis. This is Matthew McConaughey, who spoke at the White House yesterday. He also then went on Fox. We talked about his speech a great deal. We played excerpts of it. And he told Bret Baier that the news business also bears some share of the responsibility. This is clip 6.5.
I'm much more aggressively centrist like that, and I believe that the people I talk to on both sides are much more reasonable about things than we're being told we are.
So what contributes to that? Social media?
Sure. Sure.
Coverage of the splits between
sure.
the two parties?
Well, hey, drama makes better news. All right, we love to rubberneck. You know what I mean? We're still having arguments in the world every day about what a fact is. Because a fact and the truth? Oh, man. I'm bored of that. I don't want to know that. Come on, give me some sensation. Well, we got to be more than entertainment. And when we're talking about issues we're talking about and the way we move forward in the world and as Americans, it's supposed to be hard work.
And it's not supposed to be world wrestling entertainment. And as I was saying, I think that Chuck Schumer expressed the right sentiments, but let's see that this actually goes forward in the optimistic manner that at least Senator Schumer is speaking now. Clip three.
I've made it clear that the Senate will vote on gun safety legislation in the near future. Senator Murphy is working very closely with a bipartisan group of senators, and we're giving him some time. Not trying everything we can do to something is not acceptable to the families. And Senator Murphy and I have talked to all of the gun groups, the people who work on gun safety. They are in total accord with this strategy of trying to get a bipartisan agreement, even if it's not everything we want, as long as it makes good progress and it's real.
And again, even the New York Times, which did this massive study, and it was actually outstanding. I mean, they really spent some time and effort on it and tried to look at the numbers of lives that could conceivably be saved if the most popular forms of gun regulation became enacted. And yes, it could probably make a difference. But they make it very clear, and people need to understand this, it will not eliminate the problem. We still have an overall crime problem. We have a terrible overall suicide problem. Some regulations could have a positive impact. So why not, as Schumer was indicating? And that, it seems to me, is a positive. So what about the mostly Republican idea of arming teachers in classrooms? I think the biggest problem with that is not only the opposition of people in the Biden administration, we will get to that in a moment, but the opposition of most teachers groups and of most individual teachers. We know a lot of teachers, obviously. I've mentioned before that our daughters are both teachers. My mother was, my father was at the university level, in addition to his other scientific and business work. But the idea of forcing teachers to take arms into the classrooms, would that solve the problem of school shootings? We will get to that. And the mystery of why the public seems to be moving left on some issues, but moving toward Republicans in elections. Coming up.
Michael, you know what? You make a lot of sense.
The Michael Medved Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're a very, very sharp guy.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is that question about arming teachers in classrooms. I don't know if they have up-to-date polling on that issue, but it's the kind of thing that is associated with Republicans, and of course, that means that a very partisan administration in Washington will not look with favor on reforms that actually emphasize school safety rather than the reforms that emphasize trying to reduce the number of firearms in the wrong hands. The education secretary, whose name is Miguel Cardona, dismissed the idea of arming teachers in class.
Would arming teachers make schools safer?
No.
Can you elaborate a bit?
Look, our educators over the last 2 years have bent over backwards for our students. To think that arming our teachers and now having them be responsible for discharging a firearm in our schools, it's just ludicrous to think about. I think it's a further reflection of the lack of respect that this profession has, and I would stand against that. That is not the way to move forward.
It's one of those things where, again, I've spoken about this before on the air. We have several friends who are pilots, and there was a great feeling at the after September 11th that pilots ought to be armed, that because if you had somebody trying to rush the cockpit, a terrorist or an evildoer, there were pilots who could defend themselves. And basically the policy that was eventually adopted by most of the airlines and by the FAA was that for some airlines, under some circumstances, for pilots who were experienced with guns and who wanted to be armed, there was a program that enabled some pilots to get that kind of armament. I think that many people would accept the same idea about schools, but to require teachers who seem very clearly not to want to arm themselves. Washington Post reports teachers who have been surveyed largely oppose being armed. A 2018 survey by the National Education Association, which is the largest national teachers union, found 82% of teachers said they would not carry a gun in school, and 64% said they would feel less safe if faculty and staff were armed. A 2018 Gallup poll had similar results. 73% of teachers opposed being armed. There's a piece in Newsweek about an ex-FBI agent suggesting that arming teachers the wrong response to school shootings. It seems to me giving freedom of choice to teachers for teachers who go through special training and preparation, allowing those teachers to bring arms to school in a concealed and responsible way, it seems to me allowing that rather than requiring it is a sensible policy. Here is what Steve Cohen, who is one of the most left-leaning members of the House Democratic Caucus, he represents Memphis, Tennessee. He said we should be worried about another source of violence, especially in the months ahead. Listen, this is clip 9.
I wonder, for folks watching at home now, should they be concerned that these midterms coming up might be marred by violence?
We all should be concerned about the midterm being harmed, and all public officials should be concerned about their own safety, I fear. Jonathan Martin, our friend who wrote This Shall Not Pass, makes that clear in his book, that this is something that is a continuing part of American government, American politics. The big lie continues, the fealty to Trump continues, and the encouragement to the white supremacists and the terrorists to be involved continues.
Okay, the encouragement of white supremacists, and this is very, very important to keep in mind. I do intend to watch very carefully what they're coming up with from the Select Committee on January 6th. And I do believe that January 6th was a terrible day for the country, and it was a terrible day of a shameful mismanagement by the President of the United States. If you talk about a president doing a job, the way that the attack on the Capitol building was handled, there's no defense for it. There's just no defense for it. I don't care how partisan you may be, whether or not you even believe that President Trump actually won the election. The lack of any effort on the part of the president to respond to the emergency that was unfolding a couple of hours away, that he apparently was watching gleefully on TV, that's all shameful. It's really problematic. However, to talk about the fear of violence in the midterm elections, the truth of the matter is that, again, you have to put the so-called insurrection in context. If people were bent on violence, why didn't they bring guns with them? And they didn't. And again, there were a handful of people who were arrested being armed at the time, but overwhelmingly, one of the great blessings of that very dark day was that there wasn't exchanges of gunfire between the police and the demonstrators. And this also brings up one of those confusing items where they're reporting in the Gallup poll that abortion is much, much more popular and has stronger support right now than it did even 6 months ago, let alone several years ago. 60% of people, it's actually 63% according to Gallup, do not want Roe versus Wade overruled. And you have 71% who support gay marriage. Now, how could it be when on these two very divisive issues, issues that have stirred up so much controversy over so many months, actually so many years in the past, that people could be leaning very, very much in a leftist or democratic or liberal direction, I don't know how you want to describe it, as pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, at the same time that all the polling shows that people are preparing to vote overwhelmingly, and this was another example of one of the things that Politico said they learned from the primaries that took place in seven states yesterday, was Democratic turnout was just way down. Democrats were not energized. How could this be? And it may, in fact, be with the fact that, first of all, gay marriage, there are no actual active controversies about gay marriage right now. It was established. The Supreme Court decided. The decision was established. And the reason that things have soared on abortion is because people have been frightened to death by a couple of things. One of them being the leak of the overturning of Roe v. Wade in the draft decision by Justice Alito. Who knows how close to that draft the final decision will be? We will find out. But the fact is that most people are misled about it. They have the impression that automatically abortion will be banned everywhere if that goes through from the Supreme Court. And as many people have pointed out, and as it's very important for people to recognize, what actually happens if that decision goes forward is it's not that they are coming to take away your rights. They are coming to give your state legislature the right to make changes in the way you approach the regulation of this medical procedure. And I think that what you see with the soaring support for abortion or for defending Roe v. Wade has to do with the fact that there is a lingering distrust for legislatures. And very often legislation people themselves elected. There certainly is distrust for legislatures in red states, if you happen to be in a blue state, or for blue state legislatures if you happen to be in a red state. What does all of it mean? We need to figure out more middle ground solutions that don't terrify the other side or lead to ridiculous claims like Steve Cohen's that we have to watch out for right-wing violence in this election. What we have to watch out for is more participation and more will on the people's part to make democracy work.
Hi everyone, this is Fred Dreyer for Balance7.com. Do you have acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you like? Your stomach is upset all the time? Chronic pain a problem? Then do yourself a favor and go to Balance7.com. Start living again and get rid of chronic pain. Balance 7 has all the natural ingredients that work to rid your body of inflammation. I take it every day to keep my inflammation and acid indigestion in check. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, get rid of your acid indigestion and inflammation with Balance7.com. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. 800-793-9039 or go to balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.